Well, we hope this day finds you well, and we know there's a lot of things going on in our world, and we hope that this time will be a comfort and a help and be used of the Lord for each of us in our lives. Let's just ask Him to help us. Father, we do thank You. We thank You that we can rest in Your care, knowing that You are the God above all, the God of heaven and earth. And we just want to draw near to You and be able to sense Your presence, have confidence in Your presence, and just allow You to comfort and strengthen us. And so, Father, we ask as we spend these moments together in Your Word that truly we would just allow Your Spirit to instruct us. May we just be in tune with what You would want to accomplish in these moments. In Christ's name, amen. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 12. And the very last phrase I'm going to read, and then I want to go back to the beginning of it. It's Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, but I want to read the very last of verse 3. And it says, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. That you may not grow weary. As we look around and we listen to the news, we realize there are a lot of people in different circumstances, very difficult circumstances in some cases, who are right here. They are growing weary, and many of them are losing heart. Now, the Lord gives us this passage in Hebrews that we can keep on keeping on and not grow weary to the point where we give up. Let me read verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself. And here's our phrase. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now notice in our passage, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and then consider Him. Christ being God and also human, fully God yet a human, He took on humanity, and He lived out His life as He walked through this world. He lived out with faith in His Father. Faith that there would ultimately be joy and victory to come. Christ lived by faith, and He lived faithfully, and He finished His journey as the Lord desired. Now, this passage puts our focus on the Lord Jesus, and notice He endured the cross. And so we come to this passage when we think, as we are moving to Easter, but obviously the cross, where Christ went to the cross to die for our sins before He was resurrected, and on His way, He continued with confidence in His Father, and He did not lose heart. And that is a wonderful example for us to not lose heart in our circumstances. Now, I want to go to and start on a journey before Christ ended up at the cross. And I'm going to go through a number of passages in our time together. Some of them I'll just read portions of for time's sake. And so we'll go through this trying to get a path, a sense of chronology, a sense of what Christ was going through as He anticipated the cross. We begin in Matthew 16:21. It says, Jesus began to show His disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Notice, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. Now, this is early in Christ's ministry. It's his first, in this passage in Matthew 16, it's his first prediction of his death and resurrection. He had an appointment with death, and he knew it was coming. Yet in the midst of everything, he continued in faithfulness to his Father as he journeyed forward. Now, I come to the final week of Christ's life before he arrives at the cross. In John 12, it says 6 days before the Passover, Christ came to Bethany. And you remember who was in Bethany, perhaps? Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And this is said of Mary when he came to their place, to their house. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume and pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, Judas, in the shadows of this whole story, challenges the situation. We should give the money to the poor, he says. Well, the passage itself said he was just a thief, and he was looking for an opportunity to rip off the money box. The Lord Jesus said to her this, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." The Lord Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. He knew his death of burial was coming. But that did not stop him in moving forward, of staying steady. Now, as we think of these events, there's a little bit of difference in some of the days. Now, all the events happened, they're true, just a little bit of difference in which day was which. But we're going to take the traditional view, and many scholars see the death of Christ was in AD 33. So we just, with that in mind, we come to the Sunday, Palm Sunday, as we think of it in this Sunday, this Sunday of our week now. Remember what happened on that day? They brought a colt. A donkey, a little donkey colt, and they put the Lord Jesus on it. And on that, and this was prophesied in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 9 says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey," even a colt. It is not on a great white stallion, as you might think of a king. Little donkey, little colt donkey. But when he came in, there were individuals that spread their coats on the road and others spread leafy branches. And they said this, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes." You know, this is a great start. You think, whoa, this is going to be a great week. Well, things changed pretty quick. The next day, Monday, he enters the temple, and this is in Mark 11. Obviously, our Gospels give us our information as we go through this journey. He entered the temple, and you may remember he began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money. Well, you can imagine that was not very impressive to the leaders. But he said this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And in verse 18 of Mark 11, it says, "The chief priest and the scribes heard this and began seeking to destroy him." Obviously, they already had a great animosity toward the Lord Jesus. They didn't want any conviction of their own sin. They didn't want any challenge of their ways. But now things really heighten and heat up. Now, the next day, Christ again confronts the religious leaders. on a traditional view, we would have said it would be Tuesday, Tuesday after Palm Sunday. He was walking, again, I'm quoting, but this is Mark 11. Jesus was walking in the temple, and the chief priests, they come to him, these religious leaders, and they say to him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Obviously, they were totally upset. Jesus gives a parable at this point. You may remember this parable when a landowner planted a vineyard. And then he sent his servants to, when the season came and there was fruit to be had and there was a harvest to be taken, to receive, he sent his servants to receive some of the produce for those who had been attending this vineyard. And you remember the parable that the first servant that came, they just beat him up. They didn't want to give anything back to the owner. And he sent several other servants, and it didn't get better at all. And finally said, "I'll send my beloved son." Now, this is a parable. And it says in the parable, verse 8, they took him and killed him. And then this comes up, this prophetic statement from the Old Testament, the stone which the builders rejected. Obviously, this is speaking, this parable is about the Lord Jesus. He's coming. He came. He's going to be rejected. And he's going to be killed. A preview of Christ's death. Now, the Lord Jesus, he knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to pay for the sin of the world. He knows the agony that is ahead of him, yet he continues forward, not losing heart and not growing weary. We look to him. We look to the Lord Jesus so that we do not lose heart and grow weary. Now, as the story continues, Jesus said to his disciples, and this is in Matthew 26, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." And then again on the scene comes that dark shadow character of Judas, and he goes to the chief priest and he says this, "What are you willing to give me to betray him?" Probably one of the most painful things in life is if you're betrayed by somebody that you're close to. And Judas sets up this betrayal, and as you know, it was 30 pieces of silver. So the scene is in motion and it's moving forward. We don't really have any record of what happened on Wednesday, but we come to Thursday as we move through this week. Everything intensifies. As you remember, there are plans, and the Lord Jesus is still, he's working with his disciples, his beloved followers, and they're preparing the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb would have been slain on Thursday between 3 to 5 p.m. Jesus is in the upper room discourse, or this is the discourse we think of, he's in the upper room. And he says this as they share the bread, "Take, eat, this is my body." The Lord institutes the Lord's Supper just one day before his death. As one states, he was living in the shadow of the cross less than 18 hours away. But yet, isn't it amazing? He institutes the Lord's Supper for his beloved followers. You know, no wonder this should be important to us. It surely was important to him. Do this in remembrance of me. And you remember in that event, in that setting, Judas leaves to commit the horrific crime of betrayal. The Lord Jesus knows this is all happening. Remember what he said to Judas? He says, "What you do, do quickly. Let's get this done." Now, of course, the other apostles didn't understand what was going on. But the Lord Jesus did. But yet he kept moving forward faithfully. He did not lose heart, and he did not grow weary. He stayed steady in faithfulness to his Father. You see, it's a wonderful example for us. Obviously, we're not going to a cross, but in times of suffering, even in times of betrayal, even times when they're exceedingly painful, it cut to the core of who we are, we have this wonderful example and strength that we draw from our Lord Jesus, who continued to be faithful. And why? He says this, and this is in John 13. This is right after Judas had departed. Therefore, when he had gone out, when Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Isn't that an amazing thing? What's the Lord Jesus thinking about? He's thinking about bringing honor and glory to his Father. He keeps moving forward. What an unselfish love. He loves his Father. He wants to honor his Father. What an example for us. And then he says to his disciples, here, you know, you think all of the crisis that is happening, all that Christ knows that is coming, yet the Lord Jesus is concerned for his close followers, his apostles. And he says to them in John 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Isn't that amazing? How could he be thinking about them when what he knows he has to face? But he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And we come to this wonderful passage that we've read oftentimes when we've lost a loved one. He says this, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And maybe you've lost a loved one who knew the Lord Jesus, and you came to this passage and you're reminded they have a place. They have a place. They're in that place with the Lord Jesus. And maybe in those times when we're going through extreme difficulty, maybe physical anguish, and we're not sure what's going to happen, we can be reminded he's gone ahead. He's prepared a place. A place with him. And remember, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And that, you know, that's where it fits in with what Thomas says just a few verses down. And the, he said to the Lord, "We don't know where you're going. Where are you going?" The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The Lord Jesus knew that through his death and resurrection, he was going ahead, preparing a place for them. But he was the only way to the Father, you know, as you're here today. And, of course, I don't know, you know, looking into the situation, I don't see you personally, but I don't know where you're at spiritually. But, you know, the Lord Jesus loves you so much. That's why he was going to the cross for you. And he was going to the cross because he was going to prepare the way. He says, "I am the way." And he knew it was only through the cross he could be the way to the Father. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he invites you to receive him. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. It would be a wonderful day to just put your trust in Christ and Christ alone to be your Savior. Jesus loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you, for me, for us. Don't pass him up. Receive him. We come back to our story. Christ continues. It's amazing. He continues to comfort his disciples just like he wants to comfort us in our times of pain. And he says this in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He said, I'm giving you peace. He's going to the cross. But he's continuing on because he cares about us and he wants the best for us. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And then he says this clarification, "Not as the world gives." You know, the world gives you short little snippets of peace, and then it all evaporates, it's gone. But he gives a peace that the world does not know about. Not as the world do I give to you. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. You know what? You don't have to be afraid. Whatever this week holds, whatever this month holds, whatever this year holds, we can be at peace. Why? Because we got it all together? No. Because he is the one. He is the one who gives peace. He is the truth, the life, and he offers peace. Oh, I hope you can draw near to him and just enjoy his peace. Now, Christ is going to the cross. In verse 31 of this same section, John 14, it says, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. You know, one reason the Lord Jesus, one of the biggest reason he's going to the cross is because he loves the Father. And you know what? Christ sets the example. And as we become more and more like him and we grow in our character to be like him, we want to do what the Father wants us to do. We want to love the Father, love the Son, and stay steady no matter what our journey is. And sometimes it will be hard. But we want to move forward ultimately for him. That's what Jesus did. Now, we're in this wonderful situation where we see Christ goes with his disciples on the way to Gethsemane. I love that section, John 15 through 18. There's so many wonderful portions in it just to encourage us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. All of the wonderful things that we need to know. And then he says this in John 16, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. He knows he's going. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. You see, Christ accomplished so much. And in going away, going to the cross, dying for us, going to the Father, he sent the Spirit of God to come and to be our strength within, to be our help from day to day. We're not alone. The Spirit has come to us. And he says, I'm going to send. And of course, this would happen a little bit later in time. But now every believer who trusts Christ has the Spirit of God. He said, now he's talking to his disciples. He says, you will grieve thinking of the cross, but your grief will be turned into joy. And we know that will come in the resurrection and in our future hope of being with him. But Jesus came. He came to the place of Gethsemane. Again, in his humility, he wants to do the will of the Father. He's there to do the will of the Father. He says this, my Father, talking to his Father in prayer, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. In his humanity, he knew the agony of the cross, that he would receive, God would pour out the wrath upon sin, and he would bear that. But yet, in his love for the Father and his love for us, he continued on. And at that time, as we move, and of course we haven't dealt with all the details, but they're in the garden, and here comes that shadowy character of Judas. Jesus knew he was coming. And we read in Mark 14, after coming, Judas immediately went to him saying, Rabbi, and kissed him. How painful to be betrayed. The officials laid hands on the Lord Jesus, and it begins the trials that he would face. There were religious trials and secular trials. His first religious trial was Annas. At night, he was a powerful high priest. The violence begins. Physical violence against the Lord Jesus. In John 18, it says, one of the officers standing thereby struck Jesus. And Then there was another, the second religious trial, Caiaphas, the high priest. It occurred at dawn. And this was said. The high priest stood and said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and the coming on the clouds of heaven." Whoa. Christ is going to be victorious. He knows he's got to go through the cross, but he knows there's victory ahead. And of course, Caiaphas, in his unbelief and his disdain for the Lord Jesus, tore his robes and he said, "He, Christ, has blasphemed this Jesus." They spat in his face and beat him with their fists. Wow. Now just think. The violence is just beginning. Christ knows he's going to the cross. Boy, wouldn't it be tempting? Wouldn't it be tempting just to say, "I'm out of here"? To lose heart, become weary, and give up. And we know he did not. But you see, this example, as from the Hebrews passage, not only is Christ doing this for us, but he sets an example for us to not lose heart and not grow weary. Keep on with whatever God has in your path, your journey. Keep on faithfully for him as we see the example of faithfulness in Christ. As we go through, we come to Friday. He goes to his third religious trial before the Sanhedrin. And they all conferred to put him to death. This would have been early in the morning, between 5 and 6 a.m. And then start the civil trials. Obviously, he comes before Pilate, as we all know that name. 6 a.m., around that time, they bound him and delivered him to Pilate. And as one writes, just making this clarification, the Sanhedrin could pronounce death, but they couldn't put Christ to death. So they had to do it. They had to have this civil trial in order to get Christ on the cross. And that's exactly what they do. So he goes before Pilate, and then he's taken to Herod. And again, there's a lot of details we don't have time to go into. He answered Herod nothing. It's interesting. And Herod with his soldiers, as Luke 23 says, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now this is about, as this is starting, around 6 to 9 a.m. He comes to Pilate. And as you remember in John 19, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. Brought him out to the religious leaders. And what did they have to say? "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They hated him. And yet the Lord Jesus, he continues on his journey. Being mocked, being beaten. He is taken to the place of the skull. Now, you've probably seen pictures of it, and maybe if you've been to Israel, there's a place that does look somewhat like a skull, and maybe that is where it was. But in this, we know it is where people were crucified, a place called Golgotha, and it was on the third hour that they crucified him, 9 a.m. in the morning. One Roman statesman, Cicero, called death by crucifixion the most cruel and hideous of tortures. Oh, I don't think we can grasp, fathom the pain, the physical pain of this torture to death. Even on the cross, they hurl abuse at him. They challenge him to come down from the cross. You know what? Ultimately, it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, was it? He could have called angels to come and deliver him. He could have delivered himself as the Son of God. But he stayed on the cross because he loves you. He loves me. And he loved his Father. He stayed on his journey. He stayed on his path. When the sixth hour had come, Mark 15, darkness fell over the land. The sixth hour would have been around noon, and it would have gone 3 hours. The ninth hour, around 3, there was darkness. One writes, bearing the curse of sin and God's judgment on sin, Christ experienced the unfathomable horror of separation from God. And we remember these words in Mark 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Christ in his humanity and in his exhaustion cries out to the Father. Again, the agony, the emotional as well as the physical pain. And one writes, God had forsaken him because of his holiness. He must disassociate himself from sin. None of us have ever suffered like this. But Jesus did. And then Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. The work was done. I think of a passage in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ was faithful to the very conclusion. He was faithful to the end, taking our sin, taking our punishment. And he got to this point. He finished the work. He accomplished the task. He did the Father's will out of love for us. There's a story told. Obviously, it's a true one. It was the close of the first day of the battle at Shiloh during the Civil War in the States. The Union Army had suffered severe losses. The Chief of Staff, McPherson, was talking to General Grant. And he said to Grant, he says, things look bad, General. We've lost half our artillery and a third of the infantry. Our line is broken and we are pushed back nearly to the river. Grant made no reply. McPherson impatiently finally said, What should we do? Do, Grant said. Why, reform the lines and attack at daybreak. Won't they be surprised? And surprised they were. They routed the enemy before 9 o'clock. You know, it looked like Christ was beaten. It looked like he was conquered when he died on the cross. But it was finished. Christ accomplished the work. He won the victory. And we're here today so thankful for a Savior. So thankful. Christ, in finishing his work, offers us forgiveness. And again, just as we said earlier, if you've never trusted Christ, he's the only way that you can be forgiven for your sin. And he made the provision through his death. Don't pass up what he has provided. We look at these passages just a little bit more. And I think of Acts 10, it says this, of him, of Christ, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful Savior. Christ in his faithfulness finished God's task. He finished his journey. He was faithful all the way to the cross so he could save us. But then coming back to our Hebrews passage, Hebrews 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what we are to do, fixing our eyes on Jesus. through the Word, looking at Him, just as we've done in some measure as we've gone through, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus looked to His Father, was confident in His Father, was trusting His Father, that His Father ultimately would bring the ultimate victory. And we're called to keep our faith on the Father and the Son. And as it goes on, it says, He endured the cross. And then it says in verse 3, for consider Him who endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Not grow weary and lose heart. You know, as we think of this Sunday, and we think next Sunday we have Easter and the resurrection and the victory that we celebrate at Easter. But we have to remember the journey to Easter was through the cross. And Christ was faithful to the finish. And He sets the example for us to look to Him, to consider Him carefully, the one who endured hostility, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, I don't know what it's like this week for you. I don't know what's coming down the road for any of us in this life. But one thing we know, if we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus, on who He is, how sufficient He is all that we need. Whatever we face, He is adequate for. And as we keep our focus on Him, we set our sights on Him, we need not grow weary and lose heart. I was thinking just this week, I have a picture in my library of my dad and mom, and years back, it was a picture at Christmas time, and our firstborn was with him, and he was just a little guy, but mom and dad were sitting there in the picture, and then I had a little caption I'd been sent in the mail, and it said overcomer, and I was trying to think, this is kind of a cool thing, and where should I put that? Well, you know, I put it right up beside mom and dad's picture, and it was on the shelf, and I thought, but you know what it reminded me of? You know, I think dad and mom, they both loved the Lord Jesus. And they weren't perfect, but you know what? They didn't lose heart, and they didn't grow weary. They kept their faith on the Lord, and they finished their journey well. May we first put our faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and then keep our faith on Him and stay steady and finish our journey well. May that be true for each one of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You. We thank You for going to the cross for us, dying in our place, paying for our sin, all of the agony, the rejection, the torment, the torture You went through for us. Oh, we thank You. We thank You that You did not stop short of finishing the job. We rejoice in that. And Father, if there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ, may today be the day. And Father, for those who have trusted Him, who have put our faith in Him, may we keep our focus on Him, on who He is, how sufficient He is, and what He has done. And in His sufficiency, may we not lose heart. May we not grow weary. May we finish our journey well. We pray this in His wonderful name. Amen.